Calm Down with Aaron and Carissa is a production of iHeartRadio.
All right, here we go.
I know, don't you hate when that happens? For like the little mascara I even put on, it runs down there. Hi, everyone. This is the Calm Down podcast. If you're watching, Aaron is cleaning up the residue of her mascara below her eyes. I need my hair done, even though I just got it done. What's happening, my dear?
Another week.
Hi.
You know, and we love football and we're so excited for it. But, you know, like our summer is quickly coming to an end. You feel that, right? As we're starting to cross these days off, it's like everybody's like, it's summertime. And I'm like, it's almost time for camp, which means we're almost back to work. But I'm still going to breathe deeply in and out of my nose, maybe hold it for 5 seconds and out for 5 seconds, because no need to have anxiety. I'm pumped about sports, but time is a flying, man.
Time is a ticking, and it's actually, that's a perfect lead into. We have an incredible guest on the podcast today.
Yeah.
Even if you're not a sports fan, you should listen to this because it is a woman that is the first, but not the last to do this. Lori Locus, she is the assistant defensive line coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This story is incredible. I cannot wait to dive in. I know that you've been a big fan of hers for a long time, and you guys have a, you know, social media blessing and a curse, but like you guys have a relationship over social media, and I just cannot wait. I mean, think about this. This defense for the Buccaneers, what they did, and she is just, you know, obviously we're women in sports. She's a fucking woman in sports. Standing, I mean, a leader of men. I'm really excited to talk to her. But as you just mentioned, like once July comes around, it's like, okay, the season is upon us.
The season is upon us. I start looking for tank tops appropriate to wear on television for the hot games in the beginning part of the season. I start being like, where's my raincoat? Has anyone seen my raincoat? Did I bring it? Do you want to know an unbelievable story about my rain gear I probably have never told you, speaking of football?
Please.
So, guys, I'll just let you in on a little secret. I have a bag on each truck. We have a Thursday night football truck, and then we have a Sunday truck. I keep a bag on each truck, and it's got my rain pants, my rain jacket, and I go, and if you've ever seen me work a rain game, like, I play the part, like I do. I go baseball hat, I put my, you know, extensions in a braid, I've got the raincoat. I've got the rain boots. I am like ready. I look like an official half the time. So I keep that tucked away.
Sarah?
Hey, Sarah. So if I ever need it, obviously we grab it. Well, one season, it wasn't last year, maybe it was the year before. We always have to have our own food down on the sidelines. There's no time to really have a meal, but I always like to do like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or do some sort of bar. And I love our crew. They're so wonderful. Before we get to the game, because we're at the game like 12 hours before. That's an exaggeration, but it feels like it.
Yeah, tell people at home, because I think they actually will find this interesting. So if you have a 4 o'clock kick, what time are you getting to the field?
If we, it's a 4:35 kick. Sit back, everybody, for America's Game of the Week.
You want me to do it? Coming up next, America's Game of the Week, Joe Troy and Aaron on the call.
No, that's not how you say it. You say Joe Troy and Aaron.
No, I know. Whatever. All right. I'm going to change it up this year. I'm just going to leave you out of it. Let's go back to Joe and Troy. Okay, so it's a 4:35 kick, America's Game of the Week. Go.
4:35 kick, 4:25, I think. And we usually get picked up. We see your show. We see the pregame show. We usually get picked up like right at the end of the pregame show, which is what time Eastern?
Dude, that's 10 o'clock. Well, 10 o'clock for the 1 o'clock kick. So you're, that's 10. Yeah, 1 o'clock.
So we get picked up at 1 o'clock.
You're there three and a half hours.
We get there 3.5 hours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I get cranky. I'm hungry. So our guys on the crew, they usually get like subs and everything like that. They'll throw a turkey, cheddar, you know, lettuce coming my way. One game I had, and it was a rain game. I put the sandwich in my rain duffel bag. We get to, this is unbelievable. We get to the year that it was Cowboys at Patriots, one of the worst weather condition games I've ever done. It was pouring sideways. It wasn't cold enough yet for it to turn into snow, but it was so freaking cold. You couldn't stay warm. My notes were a mess. Like, it was a blowout. But before that, I went to go get my gear. I opened it up and I'm like, what is that smell? for 16 weeks, that turkey and cheddar cheese sandwich had been in my bag. Uh-uh. The amount of mold uh-uh. on it, and it was all in my rain gear, it was next level. Next level.
Gross.
Yep.
Holy shit. 16 weeks it had been
there?
It
was like a hairy gray and green fungus that was growing on my rain pants and growing on my rain jacket. It was unbelievable.
Did you throw it all away?
I threw the whole bag away.
Okay, then I'm gonna tell you another story then, which you're better than I am. I had mice up at the lake, and they went to the bathroom all over this blanket, but I love this blanket.
I saw the pictures.
I know. Remember when I sent you that? Mm-hmm. Since got an exterminator because I was doing construction and I hate the contractor that did it. Ugh, the worst. He left the door open. Anyways, mice. I took that blanket to the dry cleaner 3 times. I still use it. I couldn't get rid of it.
That's okay.
Is that gross?
No, you got the stuff out, right? You got all their little droppings out.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing on it, but like, it's kind of, I mean, when I'm saying it out loud, like there was mouse shit all over the blanket and I still use the blanket. Like that sounds terrible. But
so when you're cuddling up yourself in that blanket, you don't think of little rodents like legs and tails all over you? Like,
no, I don't. But now I'm thinking about it and I was like, I don't know. I just love the blanket. I didn't want to throw it away. But good for you. Good for you for getting rid of that. Can you imagine if you got some like staph infection from your turkey sandwich on your rain gear?
No, but I got an upper respiratory infection after that game because it was so fucking cold.
Workers comp.
Let me tell you, I sat there, the offensive line, I could not keep my hands warm because it was freezing out and then my gloves were getting wet that, you know, all the guys were like hanging out in front of that like heater thing. And one of the O linemen, I don't know who they were for the Cowboys, just grabbed my gloves and he just laid it on the heater. I was like, thank you.
You know what I always love when I was covering hockey, and you know this better than anyone, being married to a former hockey player, the gloves on those heaters. You want to talk about a bad smell? I would have to stand outside because during intermissions when you did your interviews with the players, mm-hmm. And those gloves stunk so bad. What is the deal? Can we ask Jarrett why
God
that smells
love
so bad? I know it's sweat, but how is that any different than any other?
But
athlete?
It soaks into the equipment. I mean, I'll get grosser than gross on that. Not only does their glove smell, but like I've literally driven home with him from a game and I'm like, it fucking smells in here. His hands, like they would absorb the stink from wearing the gloves. So his hands would smell. Let's go one step further. I mean, you know,
why not?
Why wouldn't we? Jarrett will love this. I mean, my husband, I love him. He's got a hairy chest. I mean, sometimes, you know, at night you cuddle up and you're like, oh my God. Like, do you have your jersey on still? Like, it's just what happens. Like the funk gets in him, man. But he's right about this. He does say like I remember, not a lie, when I was covering, and my dad talked about it in the podcast we did, the Stanley Cup Finals. God love him. I forgot the player I was. It may have been Kippersoff. I was doing like an interview with after morning skate. His pants, like the pads were hanging right there. Carissa, I started dry heaving in the middle of the interview. Like,
no.
No, like on camera because it was so bad.
Can we get that footage?
Ugh. But Jarrett has said, like, obviously, like the clean that they do, like the training staff, the equipment trainers, like they've done such a good job that it's not like that anymore. But it's the worst smelling locker room you can imagine.
Yeah.
The worst.
It's tough. Well, a woman that knows about bad smelling locker rooms is Lori Locus. She is going to join us in a little while, man. But it's easy. Hey, I bet you Jarrett's like, okay, I don't care how bad it smells when you're hoisting the Stanley Cup trophy 2 times, or for her, the Lombardi. The smell of victory is much sweeter.
I will tell you, though, that's still one. I mean, I was so excited being on the ice, and it was his second one, and it was such a crazy, grueling playoff for them. They had so many Game 7s in the series, but you go to hug them, and they're soaking wet, and they just smell like BO, and you're like, yay.
Do they roll the mat? They roll the mats out, right? You're not like walking out onto the ice.
Oh no, we're on the ice.
How are you ever afraid you're going to eat
the
shit?
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to wear heels. There were some girls, obviously, those were 2-time Stanley Cup winners. But I mean, I've worked the playoffs before where I had to walk on the ice. But I think I wore a low boot that night. with my Stella McCartney neutral beige blazer.
Wait, this is so interesting because you think to yourself, if they win, then I'm going to be photographed in this outfit and you got to like the outfit. Is that what we're doing here?
Do you want to know what we did after game three in New York? Megan Mitchell, you're getting some love right now.
Love
game
her.
Three, the Kings freaking hand it to the Rangers and we're like, holy shit, they could win this. Game four in New York, MSG. Meg and I are like, we got to get a fucking outfit. So we're like going everywhere of, yes, what we want to wear on the ice and be photographed. And they lost and we went back to LA.
Well, that's okay. You eventually got your pictures, but those things last forever.
Yeah. Oh, they do. They do. I have some great stories of girls just talking about how they were walking out onto the ice. One of my girlfriends, she said, not that year, but a year before, she's pregnant. And she's trying to walk her little kid out on the ice as she's pregnant to go see her husband. And her mother-in-law just motor over to try to get to her son. And she's like, don't mind me holding your grandkid and your future grandkid as you're mowing me over trying to get to your son. I was like, I wasn't hurrying at all out there. I remember watching Jackie Quick dancing around. She had her baby in her arms going to Quickie. And
why is no one worried about falling? I'm
everybody
so impressed.
Oh my God. I will have to tell Jared for the Calm Down Podcast IG, which by the way, check it out. Don't you like that? How I put that in, Ryan?
Boom. That's called a segue, kids.
You got to check it out. There is footage from that night when we're all on the ice. Someone wiped the hell out. I don't know if it was a girlfriend or maybe a news reporter, but they wiped the hell out. We've got to find it.
You got to find it. And as your dad so sweetly retold the story last week about me eating shit at your wedding off the ottoman.
Oh my God, you did.
I would bet all the money I don't have on me eating shit on the ice if I was going out for a celebratory thing. I never had to go out onto the ice for interviews, but there is no chance that I would make it out alive. For sure.
You do kind of like a poopy pants shuffle, like you have a diaper full of,
Lamar,
you know,
Jackson? Is that you?
But you do. You like have to shuffle your feet.
Dude, there's no way he didn't have to take a shit.
Oh, God, I don't know.
I said that to him. I go, bro, you know what it looked like? Because I had to interview him like 2 weeks after that. I go, you know what it looked like? He goes, no, it wasn't that. I was like, bullshit, it wasn't that. We all know what it's like when you have to get there fast.
I peed my pants on the field, but that's another story. You know, you've realized what we've covered in just one segment. Mouse shit.
Yeah.
BO and crapping your pants and peeing your pants. I mean, all in all, it's a great day.
I've never crapped my pants. I do know someone that has.
I know that person too.
Well, there's place like home. You know what I mean? That's where you should go to the bathroom, home.
Or stay home if you know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we all could hope. Right, America? But more importantly, I've only peed my pants in an inebriated situation. I need to know why you peed your pants on the field, but we're going to tease that for next podcast.
I'm going to tell you right now, you're also lying. You peed your pants on a Halloween costume.
Anything before the age of 13 doesn't count.
Man. Cute.
Oh, man. I'm sure Lori is delighted to join us given this conversation. Hopefully she's not online yet. Coming up after our quick break so we can use the bathroom is Lori Locus, assistant defensive line coach for the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers. We'll be back with more. Hey, girl. Without further ado, this woman is the envy of many and has the admiration of both of us and so many others. Lori Locus, the assistant defensive line coach for the Super Bowl winning Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, there are so many moments, Lori, from that Super Bowl run that stand out, but you on the field at the end made Aaron and I just cry with the emotion
from
the boys.
Right,
we'll
now
get into all of it. The men, I should say, right? We are honored to have you on the Calm Down podcast, and we will not calm down about all the things that you have done and the barriers that you have broken. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. You guys, really, it's an honor. I've been hyped about this all day, which is probably why I was 30 minutes early, but thank you very much.
That's awesome. Well, Chris has said it perfectly, that, and I've DM'd this to you, Lori. Carissa and I, by the way, after that Super Bowl, we got on the phone. It was Carissa that called me first. We were walking the dog and we were just, I think we talked for about 3 hours after the Super Bowl. And Carissa was like, this was unbelievable. The next morning, forget about you, Lori. It's more about us. We were in our jammies watching the highlights and watching, and I couldn't wait for the mic'd up. And the mic'd up was one of the best things. And that is where we saw goosebumps, the exchange with you and JPP. And every time I talk about it to people, I just choke up. And because so many things, and obviously the one that we can all relate to is that we are women. And the one thing in my career that I just want is validation from those guys that play, those coaches on the sidelines, those GMs that are in those press boxes. And to see that man embrace you the way he did, oh, like just knock it off, knock it off. I found you on Instagram. I started DMing you. I send you quotes. I like your stuff. And I actually was thinking about today, I just feel like you've become like a fairy godmother to me because I've started like venting to you on DM. You are so wonderful. And this is your fan club if you were looking for it, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm so honored. You have no idea. I mean, I've seen you guys, I've watched you guys well before, you know, I've gotten to this level. So please understand like what you do and how you do it speaks more to more women than you know, because that's like you said, I mean, it's a validation, but it's also leading by example where we know what the knock is sometimes for women in sports. And when you do it the right way and you have the right reputation and your work ethic speaks for you before you even get into a room,
yeah,
there's no better gift. So to be affiliated with you guys and to sit here and talk to you, it's really like, I was so excited.
We're even more humbled by that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, no, I know that you were hired by the Bucks in 2019. You became the first female position coach in the NFL. And I, you know, just reading a little bit about where you came from, the fact you played and so forth. I'm curious to know with you, and Chris, I don't know if you feel the same way. For me, it was never about I'm a woman, I'm different. I just want to fit in. I just want the guys to respect me. I want them to know I am obsessed with the game. I have so many questions. Do you get tired of hearing things like the first female position coach in the NFL? I know you're proud of it, but how much is it just like, okay, let's move on. I just want to fit in.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, you know, I don't do a lot of like self-reflection where like stuff like that like becomes markers. So I think that it's a huge honor, right? But I never, like you said, I never set out to be that or to have a title or, you know, to rip and run with this flag of being the first or whatever. In my mind, it's not just getting here, it's staying here and
love it,
making an impact, being, you know, viable to the organization, helping the team win, helping the players get better, still continuing to learn as a coach. I mean, it wasn't ever like my end goal to just be the first and be like, okay, that's it. Now I'm done. You know what I mean? And kind of fall back on laurels and try and make a career out of it. Yeah, I don't ever think in those terms. So sometimes when I get asked that question, I have to think about it. And it kind of takes me like off kilter because I'm like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what it was. But that's never been my motivation as far as like coaching or, you know, just being part of a staff at all. Just want to keep rolling. I've been blessed to get my first extension with the Bucks. So hopefully that's, you know, a good, good indicator, right? To the rest of the people out there that, you know, I'm with them and I'm blessed and we're looking to turn it around. I don't want to say run it back. That was Kansas City's, right? Go for two.
What are the Bucks saying? What are you guys saying at camp? What's going to be yours?
I don't know what the catchphrase is yet. I've heard, you know, go for two, you know, whatever. I'm sure somebody will come up with something a lot catchier than that.
Lori, I am employed by Fox, but I'm also employed by Fox Bet, which is a wagering platform. In our wagering world, we call double down. So I'm going to say for the Bucks, you guys are doubling down on your money because you're that confident in what you're doing. I just have to, I mean, again, there's so many things I want to ask you, but I just got to know, having a front row seat to what you guys did this year. I mean, of course, Tom Brady comes back, all of that. But man, Tom's not a dumb man. He came to Tampa because that defense. Yo. So yeah. What was it like for you and to just know that this, it was so, I mean, like I literally have goosebumps everywhere. I'm from Seattle. I mean, geez, I'm like trading, like, you know, turning on my hometown, but I like winners, Lori, and watching this from afar, I can only imagine the emotion for you. Can you describe it at all? What this was like?
Yeah. So if you think about when we all came in initially and the year that we had the first year, we knew that we had the talent base. We knew that we had the scheme, but there was a culture shift that needed to happen. And yeah. BA certainly drove that culture change. But then Tom seemed to be the missing piece for it. Right. So it's not that anybody totally changed in the defense. Obviously, you know, we pick up other people, but the building had this lift when he came in. And, you know, they talk about it being the Brady effect. And I have to tell you that that's true. And it's not that the guys got better because they were very good. It's just we had another year in the system. We had a professional come in who was a leader, who was a quiet leader, who was a champion in his own right. And it just was the right missing piece to the puzzle for everybody to be like, you know what? We're going to be contenders. Yeah. Like we can play at that level. We can dominate games. And the thing looking back is on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a game by game basis, you're so locked in to, I have my opponent in front of me. And you can celebrate for about 5 minutes after that game. But like on that plane ride home, I'm breaking film down because we have to get ready for the next opponent probably by midday on Monday. So there's this constant churn of one gets put to bed. And meanwhile, as that one's coming up, you're already preparing for the next opponent. So there's never really time where you sit back and you're like, wow, like, you know, we're doing great. And, you know, we really dominated that game because you can always find things to work on.
Yeah.
And you can always find things to fine tune. So it wasn't until the minutes after the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I know Aaron saw the picture. I don't know if you saw the picture where my son and I collided. And I'm laying on the turf. But that's kind of like when it hit, you know, we're exhausted, we're the COVID restrictions, just everything like hit. That's when the emotions hit more so than during the year, because you're so rote, you're so repetitive in your preparation. There's really no time to allow that kind of stuff to filter in because it can break focus. And that's something that we just try so hard not to have happen.
My last question on Tom. I remember talking to Sue this past year, JPP interviewing Shaq Barrett. And one thing Troy Aikman and I had said after we saw you guys win in the NFC championship game was the defense. The first thing they said was we found that missing piece to the puzzle, and they always were so great in complimenting him. And Troy had mentioned to me, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times guys could be like, all right, come on. I am so freaking sick of talking about Tom Brady, but that just shows the respect. I'm curious how somebody like him was able to come over and relate to the defense. Cause he's got to figure out his toys over here on the offense. Like how is he getting, and those are some strong personalities on the defense that Chris and I adore. But how did he, I mean, yes, I get it. He's number 12. He's walking in the building, but it was never like, it's like, oh my God, it's Tom Brady in our locker room. It's like, that's our boy, Tom, you know, he's going for seven. Yeah. How was that? How did that, you see that unfold? Yeah.
I think it was really organic.
Yeah.
I don't think that there was really anything marked, like he sat down and had a powwow with them. You know what I mean? But I think that when you talk about like somebody like Sue, who's the ultimate professional in everything that he does, when he saw now the leader of our offense be in that same mindset, be in that type of championship sort of mentality, like all the time. Mm-hmm. I think it just really let those guys say, you know what, he's okay. And we're going to stand behind him and we're going to take care of our side of the ball because we want to give the ball back to him. Mm-hmm. Like every time we were on the field, that was the main intent. We want to get the ball back to the offense. So I think just by, again, a mutual respect, the careers, obviously, some of them had crossed over. It just was a natural fit that I don't think anybody could have realized until it actually happened and he was in the locker room.
So cool.
You know, Lori, we were doing a Fox watch party and Terry Bradshaw was on, Coach Jimmy Johnson, Marshawn Lynch. And then at the end, Ray Lewis came on. And so at this point, it was a foregone conclusion that you guys were going to win the Super Bowl. And I asked Ray, I said, you know, what makes Tom Brady so great? And this will always stick out to me. He said, Tom Brady's great, but greatness is making everyone else around you better. And he said, that's what Tom does. And I found it to be such an interesting, to Aaron's point, when that defense knows that we can get the ball back into the hands of the man that's going to get the job done.
Right.
And then it's easy to be humble by that. And so I can only imagine how much fun this run was for you. But as you know, previously mentioned, it's not over, right? It's not enough to just have that. And I love that. I mean, it's why you play the game, right? Is to win and to keep going. Sort of how do you rally your group now here in the off season to turn your attention forward and celebrate the victory, of course, but turn your attention forward?
I think it's, I don't even want to say that it's easy because again, going back to the very first year, right? We knew we were out of contention for any type of playoffs. And there was something about the young guys' enthusiasm to still really want to play the game, right? Which stuck out to mm-hmm. me because I'm not at this level, obviously, but like at lower levels, sometimes, you know, when you're out of it, some guys check out and they're just kind of like, you know, they're going through the motions. They're just not really engaged in the process. Whatever happens, happens. They just want to get the season over with. It was never like that for the young guys. And that stuck out to me because that's different. That's special. So now we go through this season, the young guys are still learning. The young guys are still, there's so much upside and uptick that you're going to see from our defense with the young guys having a third year in this system this year.
So good.
Yeah. And they can't wait to get back onto the field and start to play again. So in everybody's mind, it's not really, you know, oh, we're Super Bowl champs, you know, we're this and we're that. That's kind of like, it's great. It's a dream come true, but that's been put to bed for all of us.
Yeah.
And I think BA set the tone pretty well too. He's like, you know, we're not going to be complacent. We're going to go out and work. And by treating them in the manner that they've always been treated at this stage of our season, it's just really a clear message. Like, okay, that was great. Now, you know, what do we do this year? And the guys have already bought into that. So I don't know that we're really going to have to amp them up any more than we already are. And like we talked about with the crowds being allowed back this season, it's just going to be a whole other aspect for them that's just going to set them, you know, through the roof. I can't wait. And they can't either.
I have two questions. One, now that all the fans are coming back, I wonder how many new best friends you have and how they're all asking for tickets. And then my second question, it kind of just your startup with BA, Bruce Arians. There's no cooler cat out there, mm-hmm. win or lose, you booze. Yes, please. Right, Carissa? Just the opportunity he gave you and what that means to you and you know, how you'll always hold him up because of it and just, you know, getting into the NFL because of BA.
Yeah, no doubt. First on the ticket thing, everybody already knows. Don't ask me. Don't get him. Don't want to be with your feelings hurt. Don't ask me for tickets. And yeah, BA, you're right. There's really nobody like him. And to have him have the staff that we do, to have the connections and the loyalty be so important to him and to be a part of that is mind blowing. You know, obviously my days with him go back to Temple when he first mm-hmm. started coaching, Coach my ex-husband.
So cool.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys on staff that were fellow teammates of my ex-husband, and one of our mm-hmm. position coaches was his position coach at Temple. So there's a lot of ties to this staff, but the people that BA surrounds himself with, he knows, and he knows that they can do the job and he trusts them to do it. And the autonomy in the building, what he allows Todd to do, what he allows Byron to do, that's second to none too. So it's not even just, you know, giving MJ, you know, a start in the NFL, but it's looking past what the packaging looks like and looking at the promise and the potential and the chemistry on staff. He doesn't like the word chemistry. I still say chemistry. But how all...
Why doesn't he like the word chemistry?
I'm not really sure. But I think he thinks that it's just, you know, it's a working model, not just something, you know, that just, I don't know. I think that's one of those words he doesn't like. I'm not sure why.
We're going to have to ask him, Krista.
Lately, he's like, I don't like the word chemistry. Hmm. But I think that it's just, he understands that it doesn't have to look perfect to get perfect results. And I think that we're just, you know, we're an example of that, but man, it works. It really works.
Yeah. He might not like the word chemistry, but he likes the word culture. You had a fantastic article in the USA Today, and there was a great paragraph that I found so important. And Aaron, with your affinity to Alabama, BA had mentioned the story that legendary Alabama coach Bear Bryant had told him, that it's so important in building that culture within the locker room, getting everybody to buy in. And it says how he told, I'd rather hear it from you than read the article back. But, you know, he talked about how he told you to be yourself. Mm. Could you replay a little bit of that conversation when he brought you into this building, albeit you guys had history, but now at this next level?
Sure. I'll take it back a little bit further than that. When I was working in Birmingham with the Iron and had gotten my resume in front of BA and got an email back about 10 minutes later to say, you know, I'll be in touch, you know, which would have been enough right then. But I was waiting to pick up something at like a local store, and I got a phone call and I didn't recognize the number. So it didn't look like a Florida number. So I didn't pick it up, and it was BA, and I called him back and we had a 10-minute conversation. And it was just basically that. It was like, you know, I don't want you coming in for media attention. No problem. Not me, never has been. I want you to, you know, learn as much as you can. I don't want you to filter who you are. And I want you to feel like you're comfortable enough to be able to add in when you can and learn as much as you can. And I'd like you to come work for me. Perfect. Check. Done. Sometimes he's a man of little words, but he says a lot. And having Casey as a mentor, working for Todd, you know, I do have a tendency to kind of lay back a little bit in coaching style, whereas like at the lower levels, like in arena or in semi-pro, I was a lot more involved and engaged sometimes. But I recognize the opportunity that's here to be mentored and to learn, because I'm now part of BA's extended coaching tree. I'm part of Todd's mm-hmm. coaching tree. I'm part of Casey's coaching tree. And when, not if, this staff starts to go in directions, because that's how this industry is, I want to position myself in a manner that they're going to be like, yeah, Lo can do the job. We'll take her with us, or Lo can do the job. We'll recommend her somewhere else. So he knew that, you know, the only way you succeed is being authentic, and just really kind of like working hard and putting your nose down. And that's what I've been able to do with this staff, and it's been great.
Lo, what is your dream job?
More than this right now.
We'll be back with more Calm Down Podcast right after this.
Lo, what is your dream job? What do you look to as being the end-all be-all for you?
More than this right now?
Yeah. What's the goal?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're talking like short-term goal, just to stay employed in the league. And long-term, I mean, I'd love to have my own D-line room someday.
Yeah.
And be one of those defenses that we're talking about right now, and have those athletes that we're talking about right now, and dominate offenses like we're talking about right now. Beyond that, you know, it's almost too much to like, you know, talk about, because it's uncharted territory, right? I don't know how far I can go, but I'm certainly open to all opportunities. But I think in my mind, the D-line room or a backers room or something like that would be an amazing feat to have. Beyond that, you know, we'll let it ride out. But the most important thing is to stay here enough and long enough to see anything on the next level happen.
Well, Lo, there's, you know, it remains to be seen where you go, but we know where you've been. And for those that are new to your story. Would you mind giving a little background and an overview? Because this doesn't just happen.
Right.
You don't end up in the NFL the way that you have without a probably many detours along the way. So how would you summarize your ascension to this position?
Oh boy. So Aaron mentioned I played. So I started playing full contact football in Harrisburg when I was just about to turn 40. Raising two boys that were pretty small at the time and working full time.
What did you do? What were you doing that you were working full time?
Oh, I am an insurance geek.
Oh, really?
To the core. Oh my God.
Good. I've been looking to lower my premium. So if we can just talk about that offline.
Sure. I am. I can talk to you about liability, workers' comp insurance, car insurance. I got it.
Hey.
We're good. For like 25 years.
She does it all.
Yeah. So that was like sales, marketing, underwriting. So a lot of those skills actually have come back into play in some of the coaching things that we have to do. So that was a plus.
Huh.
But I got hurt really bad with my knee and then started coaching the women's team because I didn't want to be away from the game. So I coached there for a couple of years. And then I went to high school level and I was at the high school level for 9 years at Susquehanna Township. From there, I did men's semi-pro in Harrisburg and in Virginia. And that was a culmination of probably 5 or 6 years. I did men's arena for 3 years. I did showcase teams in Canada and Philly and Florida, and then went to Baltimore to the Ravens on the Walsh internship program.
Cool.
And then to Birmingham Iron, and then now with Tampa.
What was the hardest point in this journey getting here to Tampa? What do you remember where you were like, maybe not on the ground being dramatic like me reenacting a video, music video in my head, but just like where you're like, oh, come on. Like, really, this is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think always trying to balance it out when the kids were little that I never wanted to miss anything that they had and never wanted to take away from anything that they wanted to do because of this, right? Because it was always on the fringe. I always had to work. I always had to make sure that they were taken care of. I think what happened where it was like the lowest is that the job that I had at a media group, no names mentioned, when I got the Baltimore internship, the internship obviously, you know, was 6 weeks and no job really should keep you on. But I was hoping because it was a sales position, they would at least let me work up to the time and then come back afterwards. Well, they fired me. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks before I went. So I went to Baltimore with no job, no benefits, no source of income. When I came back, I just started to like immediately go in survival mode. I got out of the apartment that I was in. I moved into a friend of a friend's house to house sit. I sold like all of my furniture, everything that I could think of to get rid of. And that's when I worked in the pet food warehouse and I walked dogs. And it was just
dream.
Yeah, really. Oh, the smell was amazing. Yeah, that was at a time when my older son's already, you know, established. He's out in California. He's doing his thing. But my younger son was still in college and I was paying for his tuition out of pocket. And it was like a crossroad, right? So it was either like I either had to try and make it work or I was going to have to go back to work and just put it to the side. Like you said, like sometimes I always think like your path is never straight. You do have to go off the path and then you have to find your way back. You have to work your way back to it. And it's not like I hadn't done it before. I was prepared to do it again, but it just, that was a pretty low point because you know, like as a mom to not be able to provide, that was the worst feeling. And I was getting to that point where I wasn't, if it was just me, it would have been okay. Like, look, I can do without almost anything for them. That was wicked. So in about that time, a former player called to talk to me about how my experience was in Baltimore. And I was telling him, you know, some of the stuff that was going on. It was cool that he called because, you know, it's nice when, like you said, you have the respect of the guys and they're calling, you know, to check in on their coach. And I had a friend that I had met who was the D-line coach at Dartmouth at a convention that I drove to. Well, another long story about, you know, sleeping in the car to try and get to a conference in Carolina. But he had invited me to go up to Dartmouth and it was like, I didn't have the money, right? I either paid for gas and did a couple of things or I made this trip to Dartmouth. And the guy was like, you know what? He's like, you always help me. He's like, you always slid me $20 for gas or for food. And he Venmo'd me a little lump sum of money so I could go to Dartmouth and just be around football. And it was just like, I was like, okay, universe, mm-hmm. I got it. We're going to go full speed ahead. And from there, I got the call to go to Birmingham. And then the rest of it started to just really pick up speed till I got here.
Lori, I don't think it's a coincidence that you work in a sport that's all about team,
yeah.
You know, where you've had to lean on people throughout your journey, but it is a one collective team, right? It's not a single individual sport. I could go on and on and on, and I know you have other things to do, so we'll let you go soon, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you where the love of football came
good.
From. Mine's from my father. Erin's is, of course, from her father as well. Where did your love of football come from?
You know what? I have no idea. no one in my family was really into football. Like, my mom and her side of the family would watch the Redskins because that's where she mm-hmm. was born and she grew up. My dad was a golfer. Like, to my left, the U.S. Open is on right now because we've just been checking the stuff all day. But yeah, nobody else.
Wow.
I just remember the family used to go to like Thanksgiving Day games. There was a big city rivalry back in Harrisburg. And then we'd go home and eat. That was like the tradition on Thanksgiving. But I was 5 years old and I was watching TV and the Steelers were on and they were terrible. And there was just something about it that caught my eye. And I have not looked back and unabashedly have been a Steelers fan for 52 years now. And just remember like all of the games. I mean, obviously, you know how old I am. I saw the Immaculate Reception game. I was watching that game. So to just have the ability to go back into like the football, like grimy, great, like time when, you know, it was probably terrible for the players, but it was great for fans. That's where it started. And it never left me. Played in the backyard with the guys, traded the cards with, you know, the neighborhood boys. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just always a part of or around me. And then when I got to play, it just kind of reignited a different kind of love for the game. And then it took off from there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no wonder you're on the defensive side of the ball, the steel curtain. Come on now.
I mean, have you met Terry Bradshaw, though?
Yeah, exactly.
So I've never met Terry. That would be like amazing. But
we can make that happen, Lori.
Oh, goodness. That would be
incredible. Get him on the phone right now. Do you want to talk to him?
Oh, my God. Do it.
Oh, my God.
Do it.
Stop.
We're going to call him right now. We're going to call him right now.
Oh, my God. Terry, answer.
He's probably like on the ranch or doing some reality show.
And I hope he has pants on.
You know, have that reality show.
Oh,
well, we
boy.
Won't face that.
Side note, though, my spirit animal was Jack Lambert. So that's who I was every time we played in the backyard.
God, I hope he answers.
See if he answers. If not, we'll facilitate a FaceTime later.
Oh, my God.
You have to
come
meet
on,
Terry.
I mean, hey, darling.
You guys are the best.
Very busy, this guy, with the reality
Lots
show.
Lots of shows. He's probably selling something somewhere.
He's on the ranch. A bourbon or something. But all right.
Tell him to call you immediately.
We'll make that happen. Yeah, I'm going to message him. He's not really one with the text.
I actually was going to ask you, I'm big right now just because of crap in my life. Any books you highly recommend reading? Any quotes you live by? Anything? I just feel like I can't like breathe in enough what you're putting out there in the universe. So you're such a great person to learn from. And I didn't know if you recommend anything or that you have something by your bedside you recommend. So
yeah, I mean, I'm really anxiously awaiting the Nicole Lynn book. She represents me and I can't wait to like read that book. But you know what? Listen, I wish I was as worldly to be able to tell you like this is the last book that I read. And I don't. It's really awful. And
you don't have time.
You're breaking down films.
I should use this time to do stuff like that. But so there's two things. What I will tell you is that with the new house, and Krista, you'll love this, I'm trying to decorate it myself. So I've been looking at your Instagram.
I'll help you.
So I'm trying to force a color scheme into like a house that does not support this color scheme. So we can talk.
Lori, why are you trying to play a 4-3 defense when you're a 3-4 scheme? What are we doing here? Stay in the colors.
I know.
We'll break this down in a language you can understand.
Okay,
let's not force it. You know?
I know.
What's the color scheme you want?
So, okay. So this is the other thing. I'm kind of like all over the board. I think you'll understand this. It's a combo. Mediterranean, coastal, okay. Farmhouse.
Whoa. Right.
There you go.
That's not that far off. That's not that far off. Mediterranean and coastal can go. We can go Italian coast with the Mediterranean and coastal. So that's fine. And then we can bring in some wood elements for the farmhouse. When we get off here, I'm going to get all the pictures from you and I'll help you put it all together.
Oh, you're amazing.
This is no
in
problem.
In fact, she'll have Terry come to your house and build it up for his reality show.
Oh, Jesus.
Now Terry? We're talking.
There we go. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But Erin, the other
I'm happy to help.
Is I do a lot of... I do a lot of like meditative type of just like kind of like rebalancing, recentering activities like daily.
Yeah.
And it's usually while I'm walking the dog, like super early in the morning. It's just, you know, taking in, you know, the area. It's so pretty down here.
Yeah.
And just, you know, being grateful and just having that like kind of daily, like walk and talk. Kind of a faith walk, mm-hmm. I'll call it.
Yeah.
And it just really helps to kind of put everything in perspective.
You guys are being very zen and very positive. I'm going to be petty for a second.
Hey.
You don't have to name names if you don't want to, but who's someone on your path to your position now that was like, that ain't never going to happen? And that when you sat there with that Lombardi trophy, you thought to yourself, you know what, I did it. Like, I just like,
what you don't have to name names.
No, you don't have to name names.
There's been a few for sure. You know, and I thought about like unfollowing them, but then I thought it's better for me to let them see all this stuff now that they'll never get to.
Yes.
If I'm going to be a little bit petty, you know, on the backside of it. And I know, like I've told like, you know, the women at the forum, there's a lot of times where you have to make a marked decision to carve people out of your life that really don't bring you.
You told me this.
Yeah. And that you have to be okay knowing that you're going to be cordial with that person, but you don't ever, ever have to give them any energy ever again. And it's okay. And you can move forward and you can be successful and they can watch you on Sunday. Period. They can buy a ticket.
Ooh, amazing. And I will not be leaving one at will call. Sir or ma'am, whoever that was along your path.
You can actually watch my D-line chase around quarterbacks all day for 5 sacks in a game, suckers.
Oh, God. Oh, so, Lori, I will help you with anything with your house if you give me a little dirt on JPP that I can throw into this interview. I need some scoopage.
Yeah, he's, God, you guys saw, I'm so proud of him. You know what I mean? And everything he came back from last year to like be on the field. And like, he just fucking leaves all of it out there. Like he's done at the end of a game because he's just such a fighter. And like, you can't coach that. You can't, that's so like internal to him. It's so special. He's such a special athlete and a special guy. And I've heard, you know, like the knock, you know, sometimes he's like, he's, you know, a misunderstood player and, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's never been anything but very, very like nice to me, very approachable, very professional. And I really, really enjoy him as a person. And I'm just so glad that he's just kind of like that wild card, like that I can't imagine an OC doesn't have headaches prepping for.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you got to pick your poison. Like, who do you prep for? You prep for Shaq, you prep for JPP, do you prep for Vita, do you prep for Sue? Like, who do you prep for? Do you prep for Devin? Do you prep for Levante? Like, and I was telling Erin, you know, Tryon this year, you know, might be a little bit of a force too. So it's going to be a really kind of pick your poison type of year. And that's what I think we're really all excited about.
It's a good problem to have over there.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about with JPP and Carissa doing this interview. He bet on himself when he left New York. It was like, watch me. I'm going to bet on myself. And respect to him. Yeah. And he has been through so much. And I just think the way he's handled it has been just so classy. I know I was crying to Carissa yesterday just talking about his story. He's just somebody I'm just so happy I got to cover. And it's just a great, great guy.
Yeah, he is. He is. People gave him a chance. You know what I mean? They'd have the same type of feeling about him instead of just kind of taking some of the past into account.
Yeah.
But there.
Yeah. We will end this incredible time with you with, for me, a simple question. What is the best part of your job?
Just getting to go to One Buck every day, being around the guys. Yeah, it's just all of it. It's all of it. Just being able to wake up in the morning and make that trip has been an incredible gift. So that's the best part of it.
Can we laugh about one thing with being a woman in this industry? And I do know that you want to get male dominated out of the conversation, which I like. But I always tell people one of the best parts of my job, besides having the best seat in the house, is the line to the women's room is not that long compared to the men's line. It's like, suck it.
No. How about that? And like a lot of the times when we travel, I'm like, I get pissed because like somebody's in there like, who the fuck else is
me
up on this
too?
Hour?
Like, me too. I'm like, get out of here. Guys walk out of our bathroom and I'm like, are you serious? You have your own line. Get in it.
Or 8,000 other choices, sir. But like, can you please leave that one to call for me? Yeah. I can't remember. It was my first year. It may have been Carolina. There was the guy in the bathroom and it was like, it was like our we're switching over. So offense goes. So sometimes, you know, like you can have like 30 seconds. It's a TV timeout. I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. There was a guy in the women's bathroom and I was like, fuck it. And I went and stalled next to him. I'm like, dude, if you don't mind, I don't mind. I had to pee so bad.
I'll go into the guy's restroom sometimes, man. Yes. Women take too long. I said, what do we bring the whole makeup kit in here? What are we doing? Let's go. Let's go, ladies. I need to use the bathroom.
That's right. Let's go. Come on. Yes, I fully agree.
Well, Lori, you're incredible. Thank you so much for your time. You and I will talk decorating and we will talk schemes throughout the rest of the year. Thank you for your time. You're amazing in so many ways.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys so much.
Love you. Can't wait to give you a hug on the field when we see you out in LA, when the Bucks come to town, and we've got to get this Terry Bradshaw introduction to happen. Carissa will make sure of it.
On it. Double down, Lori. Double down.
Double down. Thank you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
You're amazing. Thanks, Lori. Calm Down with Aaron and Carissa is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.